Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good day. Welcome to the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values than love can devolve and slide into the rabbit hole of BS. Don't be in a bait and switch mood with people. Rise to the pinnacle, rise to the occasion of love. And that's what I want to talk to you today about, rising to the occasion of love, giving yourself to the adventure of love, to the lifelong pursuit, to the joys of, to the pains of, to the strain, the heavy lifting of, and the rewards of love. So that's where we're going today. I'm glad you came here to give me a half an hour of your life and time. I treasure that. I honor that. I will respect that. And I promise that I'll give you something today to carry with you throughout the day, maybe even through the week or the month, and I hope for your life. I am the No BS Bishop, Randy Dean. It is it's always my pleasure, always my joy to be here with you. And as we do every No BS Bishop Alive to Love broadcast, I like to lead you in Love's Creed. Love's Creed is something that I wrote. In fact, I looked it up in my notes and I found out this is 10 years old. I didn't know it was that old. I thought it was just several years. Well, 10 is several years. But about 10 years ago, I felt the need to give myself a creed, give myself a goal to shoot for when it comes to love. So let's go through the Love's Creed to start with today, all right? It is a vow. It is as you would to be standing at a marriage altar and the preacher gives you vows to repeat. So I'll have you repeat it after me in a moment, but let me read it through in total to start with. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I'm unavailable for anything less. So let's go through it in piece, in little pieces, or I'll give you a little portion, and then you repeat it if you will, all right? Here we go. I'm alive to love. Now you repeat after me. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I'm unavailable for anything less than love. That's Love's Creed. It's a baseline for me. It's something to remind me of why I'm breathing, eating, and sleeping, regaining energy. It reminds me, Randy, this is where we start our day. And if I end my day and I need to do some evaluation or internal inventory, I take an inventory based on this. I really do. It doesn't make life any easier, I'll tell you that. And that's what I want to share with you today. To rise to the pinnacle, to rise to the journey of love, does not make life easier. It isn't some kind of soft core, oh, it's so sweet, you just love people. There's sweetness to it, but let me help you here. Just loving, quote unquote, just loving, there is no such animal. Loving people is the heavy lifting of life. Being able to love folks where they are, not where we want them to get to be. Loving folks for who they are, not for how we'd like to rearrange their who and make them our kind of who. No, our life of love is to love people exactly for who they are, where they are, and to become a people of an understanding that love isn't it's not a manipulation. It's a growth inside of me that makes me a bigger person. I believe love is given and love is received, and I believe that love shapes us. I'm convinced that love is a lifelong experience. Love is an art. Love is a reach. Love is a science. And love is always a risk. Love will create life. Love defines life. And in my opinion, love is life. You give it, you receive it, it shapes you, you're an experience when you have love. It's an art, it's a science, it's a reach, it's a risk, always a risk. It creates life, it defines life, and it will be life. It is life. When you arrive at the shore of life's love, then you realize, my goodness, this is why I'm alive. When you love somebody, you know, this is why I'm alive. When somebody loves you, it gives you that reason to breathe again, to get up in the morning again, to be just on the task of whatever chores of life may be, to stay on task. When you know you're loved, then you know you can stay on task. So when I talk to you here about living a life that's lived for love alone, I'm on this journey as a journeyman, as a pilgrim, as a pastor, of course, but also it's a point of research for me. One of my favorite humans in all of life, my childhood hero actually, was Coach Tom Landry. Some of you know that name, but Coach Tom Landry was the coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Sorry, I had to say that those two words, Dallas Cowboys, because I know that may be a turnoff for many people. But let me go back to their original coach, Tom Landry, the original coach of the Cowboys. He had a saying that caught my attention a long time ago, and it's remained in my little notebook of my journal, and it says this: lead people where they don't want to go so they can be what they always wanted to be. He said that was his task, was to lead the men in his football team to where they didn't want to go. I mean, naturally, they didn't want to work as hard as he was asking them to work, but he knew that if he could lead them where they don't want to go, they will be what they always wanted to be. So here's my task with the No BS Bishop. I want to lead you where you don't want to go. That's really true, because we don't want to do the heavy lifting of love. We don't want to do the running of a marathon of love. Love is a marathon. It's not a round the block sprint. Love is a lifelong marathon. It's a pilgrimage. It's a hike up a mountain, and then it's a hike back down the mountain. Love will always put you at risk. Love will always cause you to run and wonder, where in the world am I going? I'll tell you where you're going. You're going towards something that is bigger and better than you. But let me give you the priorities as I see them of what Tom Landry said of taking you where you don't want to go so you can become what you always wanted to be. Here are the priorities of love. The priority of love means that I'm paying attention like you would be right now. I hope you're paying attention to what I'm challenging you with, because as you pay attention, the word pay is important there. You're writing a check, you're putting down the credit card, you're tapping your PayPal device, whatever it is that you're doing. It's costly. It isn't cheap, and it's certainly not free. Love will always call you to pay attention. Make eye contact. That's how we close the No BS Bishop every episode. Make eye contact with people. Look them in the eye and say, I love you. The priorities of love will challenge you to pay attention. Secondly, the priorities of love will put you in a reference point of redefining everything. That's really true. It once you decide that love is the filter, love is the container, love is the measure, love is the height, the depth, the width. Love is how we measure life. And when you give love that kind of priority, it redefines everything. Listen to me carefully. It will redefine everything. Like love's creed saying, I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. That redefines everything. When you realize that, you know, I'm breathing, eating, sleeping, I'm not here to regain energy from breathing, eating, and sleeping to cause pain or to hate. No, I'm breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy so that I can love. That redefines everything. Love, another priority of love is the goal, the desire, the longing to build happy memories. Oh my, memories, you know, they're People say you got to forgive and forget, and I don't like that saying. I don't like that saying at all. Yes, you must forgive. But forgetfulness is not like going on your computer and deleting a file. Your human brain is an organ. This organ called the brain is a it's a magnanimous operation going on up there, and it has a magnet for memories. And memories don't go away easy. In fact, you almost got to be very ill to lose memories. I don't say forgive and forget. I say forgive and remember without a need for vengeance. That's forgiveness. Forgiveness is the memory of the pain. It's the memory of the moment. It's the memory that caused you misery. But when you forgive and remember with the need to let it go and to know that I don't need a pound of flesh for that offense, well, now I'm building something in me, right? I'm building something that redefines how I'm going to live my life. Another priority of love is how to build memories. Like I just talked about memories here, building memories. Now, forgive and forget is one thing, but how about building memories that realize that when I do a kind deed, when I say a kind word, a loving word, when I operate out of the function of love, I'm creating, I'm building memories. I want people to remember Randy Dean was the love guy. He talked about it. He lived it. He aimed for it, and yeah, he missed on a regular occasion. Listen, you don't aim for something but what you miss on a regular occasion. You've heard me say that here before. If I'm target shooting with a rifle or a pistol, I routinely miss the bullseye, but that doesn't keep me from trying. I'm a very casual golfer, you know, casual in the sense that I've golfed twice in 5 years. But listen, when I golf, I have to pay attention to that aim. And just because I don't hit the little hole 200 yards away every time, which I never have, doesn't mean I quit. It means that I'm measuring how the next time I'm going to swing and hit that ball. Building memories, building and creating the sense of memories as I go along life. All right. Now, when I am prioritizing love, I also have to be conscious of building boundaries. Now listen to this carefully. When you know, people are always watching us, right? You knew that, right? You're always being watched by people. And when you're tired and you don't want to be watched, well, then you got to create boundaries. Because what are you doing when you create a boundary, when you build a fence, when you do a survey of your property? What are you doing? You're protecting what's valuable. Listen to that carefully. You're protecting what's valuable. That's what a boundary is. Don't treat a boundary like it's some kind of mean thing that I don't have any boundaries in life because, you know, I've got to love everybody. So everybody's always welcome to come, you know, tromping in my living room and using my refrigerator and going to my kitchen cabinet, eating my food. No, that's not love. That's just codependency. Love builds boundaries because I'm protecting what's valuable and I'm protecting my love. I'm keeping my love in a place where it's valuable so that others that have a need for my love can receive it in abundance at almost any given time in my life. Building boundaries. It looks like this. You know, when you're tired and you don't want to be watched or bothered, well, then learn how to build an emotional moat around your castle. Put some alligators and some man-eating fish in there. And then just step back into your castle, draw up the drawbridge, and just say, look, I need a break. You know, if you want to swim through the alligators and get to me, go ahead. But in the meantime, I need a break. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, love for yourself will create love for others. To love your neighbor as yourself is to love yourself enough to rest, to love yourself enough to turn it off for a little while. Breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for love. Breathing, eating, and sleeping with a boundary says, I am intentionally seeking to keep my love strong, my love alive, my love on purpose when I'm out from my castle, when I can drop the drawbridge and walk across into the big wide world around me. But you know, listen, I've built boundaries before for people and they take it as some kind of offense. And I've had to describe and define my boundary is not against you. It's really for you because if I build a boundary that keeps me strong and healthy and collected mentally and emotionally, well, I'm a better person for those that I serve later. Boundaries, you know, the experience and the priority of love will give you the sense that boundaries are a necessary part of life. And remember what Coach Landry said. I want to lead people to go where they don't want to go so they can be what they always wanted to be. One of the priorities of love is to train ourselves to go where we don't want to go. Yes? Remember, you're regaining energy for causing love. You're regaining injury regain energy through building happy boundaries. Put those alligators in your moat, draw that drawbridge up and regain energy. But when you do, go where you don't want to go. Strengthen yourself to be ready to do, to say, to manage your life in a way that maybe you got to say some things that need to be said in an apology. Craft your apologies. Don't just shuffle the ground looking down at your shoes and kind of toe the ground and say, well, shucks, I'm sorry. Don't do that. Give yourself time to craft good apologies. I called somebody some weeks ago, actually a few months ago, that had just come up in my mental radar a few times, like, oh, I wonder how that person is. I wonder what's new with them. And gosh, I made some mistakes in that person's life. They weren't significant life-altering mistakes, but they were for me. I felt that I hadn't served them well. I felt that I had not loved them well. I want you to hear that. I felt I hadn't loved this person well at the particular time in their life they needed my love. So anyway, I paid the price of searching for that person, found them, and when I did, we made a phone call contact with each other, and I said, I want you to hear me say very carefully, you've been on my mind, and it's no accident that I've called you, but I want you to hear me say very carefully, I'm sorry. I did a poor job of loving you, and I defined the time in that person's life. It turned out that this person had already reconciled how I had responded at the time. They had no problem with me. They weren't really carrying around some kind of torch of anger. But it was important for me that they heard a well-crafted apology. When you craft an apology, don't say, well, when you did this, I had to do this. Or you said, well, then I said. No, don't put an apology in the context of what others have done. Put your apology in the context of who you are. Put your apology in the context of what you did very specifically. And if you did something poorly, say, I did that poorly and I'm sorry. You don't have to explain, hey, I was sick for a week before that. You don't have to explain I had a lot of irons in the fire in my life about that, because we've all had a lot of irons in our fire, right? Just be able, with humility and courage, go where you don't want to go. Remember, the priority of love is to go where you don't want to go. Be able to just quiet spirit say, I'm sorry. I did that poorly. Please forgive me. Now, that's a simple apology, and maybe it needs to be more complex. In AA, it's that we make amends to those that we've wronged where it isn't cause further harm. So I take a good evaluation of what I've done to people. And if it causes more harm for me to contact them, well, then I may write a letter that I never send. But then again, I may just have to sit down with somebody else and say, hey, look, this is something I've done that's wrong. And I feel like if I contact somebody, it's going to cause more pain. So let me just tell you, another person, this is what I did wrong. And I need to get this out in the open so it can get some fresh air. Because a good friend of mine who's a counselor says it's gross things grow in the dark. And when we hold things in the dark rather than exposing them to the light, well, then it just gets more and more gross. So when I apologize, I have to evaluate, does this do more harm or is it potentially beneficial for the person that I've wronged? But especially, no, it's beneficial for us. It takes us, like Tom Landry said, go where you don't want to go so you can be the person you've always wanted to be. That's what love will do for us. It's a priority to pay attention, redefine everything, build happy boundaries and create memories. But listen, going where we don't want to go. Wow. That just has such resonance to me, because it's often the place that I don't want to go is a place of hesitancy because of my own lack of self-love. You know, I want to conclude today's broadcast of the No BS Bishop on just good, healthy, measured self-love. Paying attention to that internal conversation where you are loving yourself well, knowing that the voice that you carry inside of you is the voice that is the most influential for your emotional and spiritual health. That voice inside of you that speaks back to you is so vital to be built upon the foundation of love. Self-love doesn't mean that I'm always justifying all my actions. No. Self-love says, hey, we're tired, we need to rest. Self-love says, hey, I need that boundary. Let's pull the drawbridge up, put some alligators and some man-eating fish out there in the moat, and let's pull that drawbridge up and let's rest a while. Or self-love says, I need to talk to a good friend. I need to talk to somebody who understands my foibles, my failures, my weaknesses, my idiosyncrasies. Good self-love does that. Good self-love does not allow this haranguing voice to continue forever. And I know a lot about a haranguing voice. I got a bad dude around me that's always haranguing me, and I have to shut him up. And that bad dude's name is Randy Dean. I often tell myself those things that I would never speak to another human being, but I say them to me. I say things to myself that I've never whispered to another human because I couldn't bear the pain that I would see in their eyes. You know, it's so important to realize that when you speak to yourself, you're speaking. You're putting words into action, and those words go into action against you or for you. Now, where do you want to live the rest of your life? Do you want to live with that haranguing bully that you call by your own name? Or do you want to live with somebody who has healthy self-love? I want to urge you to regain the notion that you're worthy of your own self-love, because when Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, there's something inherent in that phrase that means something about how we've cultivated a beautiful internal world. We've cultivated a garden of emotional beauty, a garden of love language for ourselves. So let's close today's No BS Bishop with the exercise. It is good self-love. It is breathing well. I just ran across something from a contemplative monk, a guy who really is a prayer person, a life of prayer. And one of the things that he talks about there is having the good sense to breathe well, to breathe steadily, to breathe daily, to breathe in gratitude, to exhale joy. That seems kind of opposite, doesn't it? But because I've often said, you know, breathe in forgiveness and breathe out love. Well, breathe in gratitude. Say, I thank you. And I'm so full of joy. However it works for you, put your own inhale, exhale description to work for you. But knowing how to keep yourself in a good tempo of a physicality that is healthy, that's good self-love. On the count of three, I want you to take the deepest breath you can. Hold it in the foundation of your lungs. All right, here we go on the count of three. One, two, three. Breathe in. And hold it. Exhale. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit is like the wind. We don't know where it's coming from and we don't know where it's going. But that same breeze is the wind of the Spirit, and so it is with breath. We don't know how we got it in there. We don't know where it's going when I breathe it out. One of the best ways to breathe out your healthy self-love is to breathe out, I love you. Magic words, charming words, words that'll change the life of the giver and the receiver. So I want you to look somebody in the eye somewhere, sometime soon. Maybe there's somebody with you now. Maybe there isn't. Practice a little bit. Look in the mirror. But say the three most charmed and magical words in the human experience, and they are, I love you. See, when we do that, that's even a part of the tempo. Go where you don't want to go so you can become the person you've always wanted to be. By going where you don't want to go, by making eye contact, and yeah, it gets awkward and weird and nerve-wracking, but go where you don't want to go so you can become the person you always wanted to be. Go to love. And say, I love you. There's such a lilt and beauty about it, right? I sure appreciate you being here today. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. This has been my pastor's study, my pastor's counseling room. I'm so glad you chose to give me a half an hour of your life and time. And I hope that something I said along this last half hour has inspired you, challenged you. Maybe it made you a little fussy or angry with me. That's good, because I really did hope that I was saying something we needed to hear. And sometimes when you need to hear it, you don't want to hear it, right? But Coach Landry said, I'm going to take people where they don't want to go so they can be what they always wanted to be. Thanks for being here today. Now go out there and do something beautiful. Build a monument of life and love. Say something, do something, and make this world a more beautiful place. Because, oh, baby, ugly's getting done to death. May the beauty of love rise and shine in all of you today as you listen. Now, I say to you as I close, watch me now. I love you.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com. And we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.